Kyle, you ready to go?
Yeah. Take it.
My name is Rafael. I had a two-part story, but it helped me realize that Hashem is there, and especially we special see at the Shemayim and Munabad. I went to Shiva I think two Munabads ago, and I told Shiva, I will see him tonight, and I want to know if I can miss Munabad tonight, because I want to be by to see him, and whatever, I want to eat supper, I wanted to go. And basically, the Shiva said, he's like, you're able to work out, you know, staying in the Shiva for supper, then going right after, and staying for Munabad. So I said, whatever, I guess I could work it out. And so there was no reason for me to miss, so I ended up staying in the Shiva. And the reason I wanted to go earlier, because I wanted to be by the seam earlier, so I'll make it back on time for my Erev. So I decided I'm going to stay, and I'll try to make it back anyway. So it was getting very late, and I was by the seam, so I was in the middle of speaking. And then, you know, As it was getting later, I don't know how I was getting back, and it was very close to my Erev, and that moment, Achanan walked in to the Siyam. It was a random person Siyam, no Sheikhs. And Achanan walked into the Siyam.
Achanan Jacobson.
And I know, whatever, I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, you knew somebody thing, and basically had a car, and you can make it back to Yeshiva on time.
Chick Chock made it back in time. How about that, folks? That is beautiful. Hakol Min HaShamayim. I had a story like that, which I about davening minion at the airport. Davening for the airport, and then I had someone come, but we're going to leave that story for now. We're going to get involved right now in Parnassa. We spoke about Parnassa at length last night, about the Indian of Parnassa, and this week's Parsha. You know, it's this week's Parshas B'Shalach. We missed a lot of stuff about Amuna in Parshas Ve'era, boy. But what can we do? You know, this is what happens. We're at B'Shalach right now. We're going to do B'Shalach. Maybe we'll get back to some of it. Maybe we won't. But right now, with that B'Shalach and B'Shalach, is Parshas Amon. Parshas Amon is all about Bitachon. That's what we brought down. If you look in the Pele Yoetz, he speaks about, you know, everyone says, how do you deal with Parnassah? He says, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Parnassah. Parnassah comes min HaShemayim. You know what I'm saying? Poteach et yadecha. That's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Parnassah. It comes like it just rains down from heaven. That's why we keep that Sinsenes Shel Mon. We keep a piece of Mon in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know that? You know why? Why do we keep it Sinsenes from? We want everyone to remember. Yeah, I'll take care of you. You don't worry about it. I got you. I got your back. Kodesh Baruch Hu's going to take care of us. So now we got to deal with Ishtadlut. How do we deal with Ishtadlut? How do we deal with this type of situation? We just sit there and wait. Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're just waiting for rain down from heaven. Is that the way it's going to work for us? Is that not the way it's going to work for us? We got to figure it out. There are some different machlekas about that. But I want to start speaking about this. There's one person that I think personifies Emunah to its height. His name is Yosef HaTzadik. Why? I don't know. Yosef HaTzadik personifies Emunah. His name is Tzadik. What does Tzadik have to do with Emunah? Tzadik v'Emunah. And Yosef goes through all of the challenges in Emunah. Yosef's going through them. Yosef had tough times, folks. And Yosef's Emunah is being tested. Well, one of those places is as follows. Yosef Tzadik is called the Mashbir. You know what that means, the Mashbir? Yosef is called the Shteller. He's called the Mefarnes. What does that mean? Why is Yosef called the Mefarnes?
The moneymaker.
Yosef supported
the world.
The entire world! Do you understand that? He was supporting the world! And he didn't go to college. How did that happen? It was a meteoric rise to greatness that happened overnight. Yosef is languishing in jail. His life is looking bleak. He might even be killed.
Rags to riches.
Rags to riches in a blink. How did that happen? You know what happened? Someone comes, Yosef Shem Karavan is right. Kate Sam Lechoshech. What happens is, the Paro is having this very troubling dream. He's trying to figure out what's going on over here. He can't figure it out. No one's going to explain to him. He says, oh yeah, I forgot about that guy in jail. I want to tell you about this guy in jail. Yeah, and he knows how to interpret dreams. They pull Yosef out of jail. They give him they wash him. They give him a haircut. Yosef's looking, you know, presentable. Comes to the king. King says, I heard that you're a very talented person. How does Yosef respond?
Yes, I am. No. He said it's all from Hashem.
He says, nope, not me. Parnasa? Min HaShamayim. It's not me. Like, if I was that in position, I would say, yeah. It's me. Right? And I want to get out of here. Don't I want to get out of this mess. But this is like, no, call Min HaShamayim. Biladai. It's not me, it's Hashem. What happens? A person that trusts HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Yosef HaTzadik,
Parnassa just comes out of nowhere. And he is not just supporting himself, he is supporting the world. The world. You know why? Because Yosef was rock solid emunah. And he realized everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parnassa is min HaShamayim. Everything's from HaShem. Now, there's a few things that we have to understand. We're going to deal with Parnassa, we're going to deal with the Shtalos, we're going to deal with those things. There are a few things we have to understand. Number one is, we all think, every one of us, whether we admit it or not, that rich is good. How many of us are willing to admit that they think rich is good? We all think it's good to be rich.
I thought so.
Some of us are willing to admit it more than others. I'll ask you the final question. I had this in Amunavad last year. It was a raging like debate. I give you two choices. Be happy and be poor. Be happy and be rich. Which one do you choose?
Happy and rich.
Happy and rich.
Happy and poor. It's the same.
It don't make no difference if you're happy, if you're rich or you're poor. You just want to be happy. I could cry, I might as well cry in a Mercedes or something like that. Yeah. Something like that. What is it?
I don't need that.
What's the saying?
Brother, cry on a Mercedes on the bike.
I'd rather cry on BMW than on my bicycle.
Yeah, there you go. That is ridiculous, moronic stupidity. It's funny, but stupid. We think, can I be happy and rich? Happy and poor. I'd rather be happy and rich. Why? Oh, because why should I be rich? But you're the same happy.
So why does it matter?
Why you're
same
happy. More stuff. It's easy.
What?
I know happy.
People
I know.
More stuff.
So what? You're the same happy?
More people happy with
it. So, you're the same happy? So I want to do mitzvahs. You're full of baloney.
Yeah, right.
That's not what it is. You want to be rich. But why? Because I want to be happy. You can be happy and be poor. No, I can't. This is what you're saying, whether you realize it or not. I'll be happy. Happier if I'm rich. I can never be as happy if I'm poor as I am if I'm rich. And that's the mistake we're making. We think that rich makes you happy, and it's wrong. Yes.
The reason why I think rich is bad is because it makes you not happy.
Someone could be happy. I'm making an assumption. The equation is as follows: happy and rich, happy and poor. You could be happy and rich. Let's say you could be happy and rich. Lamazogin, it could be such a thing. Happy and rich, happy and poor. Which one do you choose? The answer is don't make no difference. I just want to be happy. But we think that rich makes you happier. So it's like asking like
be more comfortable now.
What?
Yeah, I'd rather be more comfortable.
Why do you want to be comfortable?
Because that's just
no worry.
Why?
You're not rich.
No worry.
You're not poor. You're perfect.
Why?
No worry. Worry.
If you're poor, you don't care, and you're happy, you don't care.
You're happy.
You're comfortable.
What do you have to be comfortable for?
No, that affects
your happiness. I want to give you an example, folks. I want to give you an example, okay? You got two different people. Two different people. One of them.
Yeah.
One of them is flying Economy Plus. You know what Economy Plus is?
Yeah.
Economy Plus is the new like upgrade between Economy and Business. The other one is Flying Business. The guy who flying business usually flies first class, but he ran out of points and he doesn't have that much extra money. He decides he's going to fly business this time. And business is not the same as flying first class. First class, I don't know if you know this, they put out a whole bed for you, and they have like these sheets, and they have pajamas for you, and they like slobber over you in first class, you know. And that's first class. Business class, you just have a larger, you know, place, and it goes flat, and it's okay. It's nice, but it's not as comfortable. And he's flying there, and he's like, I wish I was in first class. Now, you got another guy, always flies economy. But this time, he worked out enough points that he could actually get an upgrade. He's flying Economy Plus.
That's me.
And he is so excited, baby. You know what I'm saying? A little extra leg room. I get over there, stretch my legs a little bit. I don't have to, like, step on the person next to me to get out of my seat. And he is, like, in heaven.
Literally.
Which one is happier? So this one is richer and more comfortable, but this one's happier. because it's not about comfort, it's about what it means to you. So you're for sure more comfortable than I am. No, because this is my standard, this is what I want to live up to, and therefore, it doesn't make me happy. So people have tons of money, it's not making them happy, so what's the point? And some people, they have barely anything, but they're happy with what they have, so we just want to be happy. So the first important thing in Amunah when it comes to that, to money is, don't think money's going to buy you happiness. Don't think that necessarily being rich is going to be make you happy or is good for you. Not necessarily. There's a rumor, I don't know if it's really true, I haven't seen it yet in the news, but there's a rumor that a guy just won lots and lots and lots and lots of money. What? No, I'm backed up that story. And he died of an overdose. But I will tell you a story that did happen, because this one is a true story. There's a fellow by the name of Len Bias. Any of you know who Len Bias is?
Number one pick of the Celtics.
Oh, Boston, right there. Number one pick of the Celtics. He was going to play with Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish. Oh, this is going to be the greatest team in history. He was the number one pick. How they managed to get a number one pick, even though the best team already on the... This was a kasha on my side. Guess what happened? The night he was chosen...
He died.
He didn't die.
He OD'd on coke and killed himself.
That night.
He killed himself?
He OD'd.
And he died.
That was the end. No more Len Bias. That's why you never heard of Len Bias. He dead. He didn't just die. He OD'd. So, what's my point? Take it easy over there. You're looking like too much like you know how to do that. So, what's my point? My point is that a lot of times fame and fortune, all that stuff, is not making you happy. One of the most famous people in the world, one of the richest people in the world, his name was Elvis Presley. You'd think the man's going to be happy, right? He's
still alive.
According to...
He died on the toilet. Yeah.
There's alive. So many people like that. Because money, fame, looks do not make us happy. And they're not necessarily good for you. So, the first thing I have to know is when we deal with Amuna is, a lot of times, just getting by is perfect. It's perfect. It's happiness. What we want in this world is to be happy. And we think, if I get the raise on the job, that's going to be make me happy. Who said? Who said you want to get? Who said you need that job? Who said that's not going to take away more time away from your family? Maybe your kids need you. And then you're going to get that job, you're going to get that raise, you're going to get that, you know, that promotion, and then all of a sudden it's much more demanding and much more stressful, and you're not going to treat your wife well, and then you're going to get into a fight, and then you're going to end up with your kids. Who said? We think automatically, success is happiness, it's a mistake. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what's best for me. And I'm okay with that. I do not need to be rich. Maybe you want me to be rich? I'll deal with that. Maybe you want me to be not rich? I'll deal with that too. That's the first thing we need to have if we want to have Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to be prepared. And people saying, I trust Hashem that He's going to make me filthy rich. That's not called I trust Hashem. That's, I need to be rich, and Hashem, you're going to have to make that happen. Yeah, Hashem doesn't play by our rules. That's the first thing I have to have Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person has Amunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of him. Now, we discuss ishtadlus. There is a concept of ishtadlus. It exists. There is a huge machloikas about ishtadlus. We're going to go with the Derech HaMelech. Derech HaMelech is that every person has to do ishtadlus. Peripheral, like camp that says you don't do any ishtadlus. But Derech HaMelech is we have to do. Everyone's machuiv to do ishtadlus. What does ishtadlus look like and how much ishtadlus we should do is what we're going to discuss. Okay? You ready? This is where we're at. Number one. When a person is going to choose a profession, assuming a person is going to go out to work and wants to be a businessman or profession, how does he choose what he's supposed to do? So the Chovas HaVavas gives us a very simple formula. For many of us, it's very simple, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu ingrains in you an atiyah or a gravitation towards a particular type of profession. Some people love to work with wood. Some people love diamonds. Some people love real estate. Some people like medicine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ingrains in you a netiya, and that is his way of telling you, this is your ishtadlus. So someone that likes medicine, he likes medicine. And I had this type of situation once. I had a Talmud who liked medicine. He wasn't like the most brainy guy on the planet. And you go to medical school, you have to be a pretty smart guy. He said to me, should I go to medical school? I'm dying to be a doctor. I said, you do it. You do it. Because if that's what you want to do, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, this is your ishtadlus. Now, any person that wants to be a doctor, I think we can all agree that necessary ishtadlus is to go to school. Do you understand why? Because you cannot get hired as a doctor anywhere. Like, you know, I read a few books. You can't prescribe medication. You can't treat patients unless you went to school. School is for certain ishtadlus for a person who is becoming a doctor. Who should become a doctor? If you ask me, I would say any person that feels a very strong pull towards medicine, you should become a doctor. If someone says, look, I know doctors make a lot of money, and I want to make a lot of money, so I want to be a doctor. I'm like, no, no, that you're doing that wrong. Don't choose a profession based on money. You know why? Because who gives you money?
Hashem.
You do your ishtadlus, because we'll give you money. If you're going to choose a job based on how much it pays, then basically what are you saying? I don't
believe
in Hashem. Or I don't trust Hashem. I don't have emunah. So you choose your job based on what you like to do. Yeah.
So over being his mind, we get offered two jobs. One job you enjoyed doing, one job makes a lot of money. I want to make money.
We have to deal. That's Ben Ismanim is perhaps a different thing. That's not classic ishtadlus. Leave that alone for now. Okay.
Let's say someone wants to really become a lawyer, but like be a lawyer, like the first 10 years of your life, you're just spending the whole time. You're not going to be spending any time with your wife and kids. So
there's other considerations which can go into a person choosing. For example, some people love to color. I love to color. I just love coloring, right? So should I make coloring my profession? Not necessarily, right? But so there are certain things a person can like which are not viable options for ishtadlus. But if there's a viable option for ishtadlus through this natia that a person has, then he should choose it. So we're going to leave that for now. Yeah?
The opposite, like you don't have any specific lights.
So that's when it gets difficult for people. And that's when a person, really? What about me?
Become a
Rebbe. Come on, you're going to get a zetz for that one. You're going to get a zetz for that one. Huh? That was a low blow. That was a low blow. It's really. Just say I was just joking. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That
was a low blow. It's very important for a person to be able to try to find something that he likes. That's a challenge. That's something that we have to work on ourselves, and we have to explore and find some things that we now. There could be a person can give himself exposure, like we're talking about Benaz Manim, work for something and see where do I like diamonds? Do I like diamonds? Do I like healthcare? Do I not like healthcare? Do I like real estate? Do I like sales? Some people like sales, and a person has to try to find for himself something that he likes. And that's work on yourself. Okay, now we know what job to choose. And we know if I'm doing a job that absolutely requires an education, education is a part of my hishtadlus. We understand that. Now, we're not going to get involved in co-ed college, not co-ed college, when you're single, when you're married, Yorg Val Yavar, we're not getting involved in all that stuff. It's a whole different shayla of dealing with, you know, now that I know what I need to do for a stylist, how do I make that happen? It's a whole different shayla, we're leaving that alone for now. We're not getting involved with that.
Can we talk about like hours of the day?
So now we're getting into that. Oh. We're going to get close to that. Now we're going to talk about the following thing. I want to go into to real estate. I want to go into real estate. Should I go to business school? On the one hand, are there any large business magnates that did any large real estate magnates that did not go to business school?
Yes.
Yes, like who?
Large people that
real estate magnates that did not go to business school. What?
Okay.
Ruby Schroen. There you go. Ruby Schroen, great example. Shlomo Freshwater. Ralph Ritzkotter is not a real estate magnate. I don't know for sure if he went to business school.
He did go to business school.
He did not, you sure?
Positive.
Okay, Ralph Ritzkotter is in mortgages.
My mother always told me that.
Okay, I believe that.
A lot of Hasidish people in Muncie.
A lot of Hasidish people in Muncie. Excellent. Shlomo Freshwater for all those Brits out there. Freshwasser. There's a lot of people that did not go to business school, and they're making not just a lot of money, crazy money, right? A lot of those people out there. Ruby Schroen is a classic example. Ruby Schroen was a Rebbe. Son told me this. He was a Rebbe teaching. He didn't know what he wanted to do, so he became a Rebbe. And he couldn't support his family. He didn't have enough money, so he said, okay, I got to go out to business. And he became Baruch Hashem. To quote his son, my father used to work to support his family, now he works to support Klal Yisrael. He's Ruby Schroen. A beautiful person. Mamash Tzadik of Yid.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Rabbi Isai, should you go to college? Because I'll get more experience, I'll be able to be more equipped to deal with understanding the market and I'll get a step up, and then I'll be able to, you know, be more competitive. And should you go to school? Ellie, what do you say?
No.
He doesn't talk much. I know he's got a lot going on inside that head right there, but he's thinking. He takes everything in. Ellie, share with us pearls of wisdom. Want to think about it more? Afterwards. Okay, so then I'm going to weigh in the instead of Ellie. What?
I say no.
You say no.
Thank you.
So I'll give you the following answer. Thank you very much.
No.
You have a reasoning?
I think, like,
you shouldn't be talking because you're going to become a Rebbe anyway.
It's not bad. I think that was a compliment.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Good.
Mister.
You got to make up. You got to
make up.
Catching up over there. Folks.
I think you shouldn't devote his whole day to as opposed to someone going to like medical school who has to, but I don't think, like, for sure not.
Okay, he just took a little 180 over there before he said no, now he said yes. But something like that. Let's go. So this is what I like to suggest to you as follows. Listen here. Listen here, folks. I'm going to tell you a very big yesoid. And I think it's important for us to try to process this. Might even take, maybe we'll do it, we'll go over it again Thursday, because I think this is very important for us to understand. Hishtadlus is a very individual and personal reality. What I mean is as follows. If you honestly believe that there is no way to be successful in real estate without having a college education, part of your hishtadlus is to get that education. We all believe it's impossible to be successful in medicine without a college education. Or an education, whatever you want to call it. We all believe that. It's impossible to be successful in medication without that. So therefore, part of your shtadlis, if you're going to be a doctor, is to have an education. If you believe it's impossible to be successful without an education, you should do a shtadlis. If you do not believe that, then you should absolutely not get an education, because it is taking away your emuna in HaKadosh Baruch. If you are saying, like, I see Ruby Schroen, I see Shlomo Freshwasser, I see
Louis Shiner,
I see Ralph Hertzka, I see a lot of Hasidish people in Muncie, and I say, look, they did it. It's so doable. Now, someone's going to say, here, listen, this is where it gets complicated. But what are the odds? What are the odds that you're going to be that guy? For every Ruby Schroen, you got a bunch of people in Lakewood that are, like, trying so hard because they couldn't make ends meet, and they're not making it. I want to give you better odds. This is very, very, this is very, it's complicated but very important. I want to give you better odds. Can a person say, okay, I'm going to go to school so I have better odds?
He has no emunah then.
And he doesn't have emunah. Because hold on a second, why am I being matzliach? Because of my odds? I'm being matzliach because I, because of me? Because I'm going to make sure that I'm successful? Or if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be rich? I'm going to be rich. Because Baruch Hu doesn't want me to be rich. I won't be rich. And I can work all the odds in my favor, and it could be 99 to 1 that I'm for sure going to make this, is going to work. And Baruch Hu is going to say, well, too bad, because I don't care about the odds, because I don't want you to be rich. Baruch Hu is going to say, I don't care about the odds. If I want you to be rich, you're going to be rich.
Keep putting in more shtablis. It's all me.
So what does that mean, putting in more shtablis? So this is where it boils down to. And everybody say, this is a sugya. We're learning up a very tifa sugya right now. Mamish tifa sugya. Let's say a person says, I'm very desperate need for money. I want to buy a building for yeshiva. It's cost $10 million. So I want to do a shtadlis. I'm going to buy a lottery ticket. Can you hear in your brain that maybe that's called a shtadlis?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
not what you do. You do the Well, honestly, give you $10 million
salary,
you can find a lottery ticket in the street.
Right, true, true. Okay, maybe that'll be shtadlis. Maybe with. What about buying two lottery tickets? Mm-hmm. Is two lottery tickets called the shtadlis?
No, you killed it.
Why'd you kill it?
Because now you don't believe
it. You have to do something.
Because you're changing your odds. You want to change your odds. Because then, what you're basically saying is, maybe I'll get lucky, and if I have more, then there's more chances. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu is sending it to you. Because Baruch Hu is going to send it to you.
Why buy a lottery ticket in the first place?
Because you have to do some ishtadlis. Now hold on, we're not finished. Everybody, this is a tifa sugya. I really want you working on the sugya. This is a very, very tifa. If you don't come back on Thursday, so then you're fired. Because we're not finished. There's a lot we have to work this out. I was dealing with one of the Talmidim in America right now, and he was like, okay, I decided that I don't have to do ishtadlis because we learn emunah together, and Hashem does everything. Like, you're fired, you got me? You cannot stop here. You have to come back on Thursday. We have to finish the sugya. Because there's this complicated, this very complicated dynamic of how much ishtadlis to do, how much not, and we didn't finish it. We started working it out. Okay? There are certain things that a person should not do. But there are certain people that should, even though they're going to business school, even under certain circumstances, go to college, we're going to explain it. Okay, we're going to try to work this out. Is it Shem Tziyat Dishmai?
The other